yet? I don't think it's been quite a year. But it's been more than a couple of weeks, that's for sure. It's been a few months that we've been in this, for sure. And we've been talking about the reasons, talking about worship and the reality that worship is more than singing songs. As great as the songs are that we sing, worship is way much more than that. And so we're kind of winding down the reasons why we worship and how God blesses us as we worship. But I want to just give you a little heads up of what we're about to step into in the next section, and the final push, if you will, toward the end of this Bible study. And this is what it is. It's distractions that keep us from worshiping. I'm going to be talking for several weeks, I would imagine, on distractions. How many of you can get distracted pretty easy? Amen. It's like squirrel, and we're off out here doing this deal. Settle down over there. See there, I just got distracted right there. That's how easy it is. And you know, for me, when I'm up here and whether I'm singing or playing an instrument, I like to do it as much as I can with my eyes closed, because I watch people. And when you get to watching people, you're distracted. And so I just want you to have a heads up that that's going to be kind of where we're going to be headed. Chop, chop, buddy. Man, oh man, the guy got to be careful around here what he says. So last week we kind of ended up in Ephesians chapter 5. Talking about the husbands and wives and those kinds of things. And we talked, in fact, Michelle, let's just go back to those verses of Scripture. You already knew that, didn't you? I was going to start right where I left off. But I just, for some reason, I can't seem to do that. So anyway, just to get caught back up, I want to look at this Scripture because... I said earlier that it was by the Word and the Spirit, by the Word and by His Spirit, that we're sanctified, that we're set apart. Remember, sanctification means being set apart. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 6, and 7 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify, set her apart, and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." And again, the washing it's a figurative image, if you will. Figuratively, it's being used as the bride's prenuptial washing. And after this washing, it goes on, then their custom was the bride was perfumed and anointed and arrayed in her wedding clothes. And the betrothal ceremony in Judaism was also called the sanctification of the bride, the setting apart of the bride. And so the Word naturally refers to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And today Christ is in fact cleansing His church through the ministry of His Word. Listen, if we're not in His Word, we're in trouble. We need to be in God's Word. Pastor, I can't remember what I've read. Doesn't matter whether you can remember it or not, read it anyway. Read it anyway, because the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit will bring that up. He will bring that up in you when you need it. So the church, today the church Christ is cleansing His church through His Word. And the church is not perfect. It has spots and wrinkles. How many of you know that to be true? This church is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but the reality is, for the most part, from what I can tell, in this congregation, in this body, we are striving to be in one mind and in one accord, pushing toward the same goal, the salvation of our city, the reconciliation of our city to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want us to know that it has its spots and it has its wrinkles. And spots are caused by defilement on the outside, yet wrinkles are caused by decay on the inside. So because the church becomes defiled by the world, it needs constant cleansing. How do we get constantly cleansed? Read the Word. We are cleansed by the Word. We need to be constantly cleansed by His Word. And the Word of God is the cleansing agent. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "Keep yourselves unspotted from the world." So we're to be in the world, but not of the world. But we're also supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So how in the world are we going to do that? By staying in the Word. By being dedicated and determined to stay in His Word. Strictly speaking, there should be no wrinkles in the church, because wrinkles are evidence of old age and internal decay. And so then, as the church is nourished by the Word, wrinkles ought to disappear. Amen? I have the weirdest thoughts sometimes. I just had a picture of some woman going to a dermatologist or a plastic surgeon and getting like Botox injections or whatever in their lips to make their lips bigger. You know, and it's like, what in the world? It takes all the wrinkles out. They get their foreheads Botoxed so that there's no wrinkles in their forehead. Who gives a rip, Dennis, whether we have wrinkles in our forehead or not? You know what I mean? Mike, you got wrinkles in your forehead. Can you do something with that for me, please? It's amazing. But as the church is nourished by the Word, wrinkles ought to disappear. And like a beautiful bride, the church ought to be clean and youthful, which is possible through the Spirit of God and by using the Word of God. And one day, the church will be presented in heaven, a glorious church, at the coming of Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you something? If the Apostle Paul was alive today, do you want to know something? Our nation would be getting a letter. Think about that for a minute. If the Apostle Paul was alive today, America would get a letter. My son-in-law texted me this morning out of the blue, and he goes, "Hey, so I have a meeting today with Governor Kate Brown, Gavin Newsom, and some big wig that is the head of internal affairs or something." And why they were coming to Medford, Oregon, I don't have any idea. He texts me and he says, "Have you got any words of encouragement you want me to give them?" I said, "Take with you a copy of the Declaration of Independence and ask them to read it." That was inspiration via Tommy. Because what I said was, to really say what I want to say, which I'm not going to say because we are to pray for them, it would cost you your job probably, and I don't want to look bad. Amen? We're called to pray for them, whether we like them or not. But it is a good reminder for them once in a while to read the Founding Fathers' notions of what we ought to be as a country. One nation under God still today. Amen? All right, we're going to move on. I want to start talking tonight about the blessings of God on true worshipers is to comfort, encourage, and edify His people. Comfort, encourage, and edify. How many of you feel good in worship? I mean, doesn't it just feel good? I mean, I sit over here and I watch Kathy, and I swear somebody ought to someday, I'm going to get a long belt. I'm going to tie your feet. I'm going to tie your feet to the legs of the chair. I swear, if we do that, she'll not be able to play a lick. Because she, I mean, she's moving them legs. Oh, man. You know why? Because worship makes you feel good. Because when we're worshiping, the Bible says that when we exalt Him, when we lift His name, He draws near to us. Amen? And so when we're worshiping God, He is drawing near to us. And I'll tell you what, I love that. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26 says, "How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, has a tongue, a revelation, as an interpretation. But let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done to build up one another." There's enough of us getting tore down that when you come to church, you don't need to be tore down at church. Now, let me tell you something. Let me just qualify what I just said. Because when you're being preached the message of salvation and you're being confronted with your sin, that is not being tore down. There are churches in America today, huge, great, big, mega churches that do not talk about sin in their services because, as the pastor said openly, "We don't talk about sin here because people already feel bad enough about their life. They don't need to come to church and be told about their sin." Wow. Listen, when I got confronted by my sin, it wasn't a fun day. It wasn't pleasant. I didn't enjoy it at all. But I'll tell you what, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because when I was confronted with it, it's like going to the doctor and saying, "Hey, listen, you got cancer, but it's going to be okay. You're completely full of it, but I don't want you to feel bad. I'm not going to tell you that it's terminal and that you got 2 weeks to live. Because I don't want you to feel bad." Or better yet, not even tell you at all. You're sicker than a dog. You go to the doctor diagnoses you with cancer, but he doesn't tell you you have cancer because he doesn't want you to feel bad. And you go back to the doctor after somebody's died, you go back to the doctor and say, "What in the world happened?" "Well, he had cancer." "Well, why didn't you tell us?" "Well, I didn't want to make you feel bad." Listen, that's a literal depiction of what's happening when people don't tell somebody about their sin. "Well, I didn't want to make you feel bad, Ray. And now you're in hell going, what in the world happened?" "Well, I didn't want you to feel bad. How you feel now?" Right? I mean, everything done in worship services ought to be done and it ought to be beneficial to those that are worshiping, to the worshipers. Every worshiper ought to consider himself or herself a contributor. You know what happens when everybody becomes a contributor in the worship service? It becomes a worship service and not a concert. Oftentimes, people come to the church to hear a concert and to be inspired by the worship team. Listen, you need to come into this place in a spirit of worship and praise and join with and add to what's already going on. The reality is these principles that I read ought to touch every aspect. The singing, the preaching, the exercise of spiritual gifts and contributions to the service, whether singing, speaking, reading, praying, playing an instrument, or giving in the offering, must have love as the chief motivation. Why do I do what I do? I do it because I love God and I love His people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's why worship's important. That's why everybody ought to be chipping in and contributing to the worship service. Because we need for God. Listen, if God's Spirit does not draw the people in, we're in trouble. It's the Holy Spirit that draws them. So as we prepare to lead or participate in worship, we need to seek to strengthen the faith of other believers. And keep in mind that the members of the Corinthian church did not sit in the services with Bibles on their laps. Did you think about that? They didn't sit in a service with a Bible on their lap. The New Testament was being written, and the Old Testament scrolls were very expensive and not available to most believers. God spoke to His people directly through the prophets, and the message was sometimes given in a tongue. And these three gifts of knowledge, prophecy, and tongues worked together to convey truth to the people. Hello. Amen. Paul emphasizes the importance of doctrinal teaching in the church. That's why I try my best to stay as close to what God's Word says as I possibly can. I try not to add a whole lot. I use illustrations, personal illustrations in my life of how things have happened. But I don't try and make God's Word say something just to make somebody feel good, including myself. Christians need to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our worship ought to be based on truth, or it may become superstitious emotionalism. Oh, you can't. And a lot of times people will say, well, you know, you the enemy will tell you just went to the altar because you were all worked up emotionally. Well, if it gets you saved, glory. I've been emotional when I've been at the altar plenty of times. Sometimes in my own ministry, I have shared in some local services, but I've always tried to communicate biblical truth to the people. Sometimes the music hasn't been very edifying. Other times the music communicated the Word in a very powerful way. And whenever all of us as ministers have aimed at edification and not entertainment, then God is blessed and the people have been helped. Amen? It's just the way it is. A minister that does not build up will tear down. Doesn't make any difference how spiritual it might sound or seem. And so when we explain and apply the Word of God to individual lives, we have a ministry of edification. We have a ministry of building people up. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. How much of your tribulation? All of it. In all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. One of the key words in this letter of 2 Corinthians is comfort or encouragement. The Greek word means called to one side to help. called to one's side to help. The verb's used 18 times in this letter and the noun 11 times. And in spite of all the trials that Paul experienced, he was able, by the grace of God, to write a letter saturated with encouragement to a church that in a lot of ways was in trouble. And Paul, instead of browbeating them, he communicated clearly what God's Word says and encouraged the people. Paul was, what was Paul's secret of victory when he experienced pressures and trials? His secret was his relationship with God. He walked with God. He was close to God. He was close to the Lord. He knew who God was. And when you and I find ourselves discouraged and ready to quit, although probably none of you have ever experienced that, get your attention off yourself and focus it on God. That's why I said of the song that Kathy sang, I love you, Lord. It's easy when everything's going well, it's easy to sing that song. But when the bottom fell out and everything is going crazy around you and your world's crumbling down around you and you can't seem to catch a break anywhere, then can you sing that song? Paul, out of his own experience, tells us how we can find encouragement in God. He learned that praise is an important factor in achieving victory over discouragement and depression. Remember what it means to rejoice? The literal definition? To spin violently. If you're bound up by things, you can't spin violently. You can't rejoice. You can't praise the Lord. Praise, I love this. Praise changes things just as much as prayer changes things. What's that? Because praise is prayer. What are you doing when you're praising God? You're really just talking to God, and maybe with a melody attached to it or whatever. But praise changes things as much as prayer. Praise takes your attention off of your circumstances and puts it on God. So when whatever the Father did for Jesus when He was ministering on the earth, He was able to, or is able rather, to do for you and I today. You know why He does it? Mostly because we don't give Him an opportunity to. Can I just tell you tonight that we are dear to the Father because His Son is dear to Him, and we are citizens of the kingdom according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. We are citizens of the kingdom of His dear Son, the Son of His love. See, we're precious to the Father, and He will see to it that the pressures of life will not destroy us. I can't tell you how many times I've told people, listen, God said in His Word that He'll not let any more come upon you than what you can bear. And I've heard 100 times, in fact, most every time that I've ever used that verse of Scripture, the person that I've been telling it to is saying, well, he must think I'm pretty strong because I've about had it. Well, but you haven't yet. So don't give up. How are diamonds formed? Intense heat and pressure. How are oysters, not oysters, how are pearls formed? By an irritation. Anybody ever had any irritations in their life at all? It's because you weren't doing it right, brother. Every time that grain of sand becomes an irritation in that oyster, it squirts this liquid called mother of pearl on the grain of sand, and that's how pearls are made, from an irritation. You didn't know that, did you? Stick with me, kid. That should be, Lord, I need to get on your page. Not you and I need to get on. He's already on the right page. We just need to get on the page. Amen. I mean, I'm just trying to help you right there, Judy. Yeah. We're precious. And the pressures of life, sometimes the pressures of life get heavy. And they do seem oftentimes, there are times when it does feel like they're going to destroy us, but they're not. The Jewish people, the phrase father means the originator of. And so let me just give you some examples. Satan is the father of lies, according to John chapter 8 and verse 44. He is the father of lies because lies originated with him. According to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21, Jubal was the father of musical instruments because he originated the pipe and the harp. Isn't that amazing? Jubal. J-U-B-A-L. Jubal, Jubal, however you want to. How do you say it? Either way. All right. Jubal. All right. God is the Father. Listen, I'm going to make your night right here. God is the Father of mercies because all mercy originates with Him and can be secured only from Him. Amen? He's the Father of mercies. God in His grace gives us what we do not deserve, and in His mercy, He does not give us what we do deserve. Isn't that amazing? Lamentation. Sit up back there, brother. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Think about that. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. God's mercy is manifold. According to Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 19, God's mercy is manifold. According to Psalm 25 and verse 6, God's mercy is tender. According to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 19, God's mercy is great. So God's mercy is manifold, it's tender, and it's great. The Bible talks about the multitude of God's mercies, that it is so inexhaustible is the supply. Inexhaustible is the supply. You can tap into it and never run it down. I don't think we can even drop the level. Think about that. That is amazing. God's mercy is so inexhaustible is the supply, the multitude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Therefore, what's it there for? Because it wants you to pay attention. Listen up, I'm about to say something of importance. And so the word therefore is there. And it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So the believer is to minister by comforting and edifying or building up one another. When we come to church, We need to be building one another up. We need to edify one another. We need to comfort one another. I heard Kathy plain as day tonight say, just turn around, shake a few hands, whatever. And you guys went buck wild. Like herding cats, man. But you know what? That blesses me every time. You know why? Because it's important to you to make to communicate and to make connection with one another. That's why we have family time. And we try and stay on a fairly strict kind of a schedule on Wednesday nights because some have to get up and go to work or go to school or whatever. But it is important. Dr. James Dobson said that there's so much power in the physical touch. Physical touch. Little babies in hospitals that aren't doing well. They have little old grandmas that go in there and they just rock the babies and they hold them and they cuddle them and they caress them and they touch them. And it causes them to feel and be nurtured through that touch, and it helps them to thrive. Amen? I think it's a beautiful picture. We are to edify and comfort one another. God has delivered us from the wrath to come and given us the glorious hope of living face to face with Him forever. Think about that. Face to face with God forever. So we're not to sleep, but we're to be sober and to be awake and to be alert and to be watchful for that glorious day. One of these days it's going to happen. Right when we least expect it. But church, we are to comfort. The word paraclete. We are to comfort each other. We are to exhort, encourage, and admonish each other. I'm going to comfort and exhort and admonish you with these three verses of Scripture as we wrap it up tonight. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1, it says, comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Comfort my people. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 again. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you're also doing. Call somebody up this week and encourage them. Call them up, edify them. Tell them that you love them and that you miss them, and you know, let God speak to you about what He wants you to say. But you can't do that if you don't reach out to somebody. Amen. Good for you. I'd love to call my mother. I can tell you that. I would love to call my mom or my dad. And let's pray. Oh, Lord, we love You tonight, Lord, and we exalt You and we bless Your name. God, I thank You for all that You're doing in our lives, Father. And I pray, God, that You would cause us to be in Your Word, to be washed in Your Word. God, that we would begin to praise You in the midst of circumstances that sometimes seem to be out of our control. Lord, help us to begin to praise You, because prayer, in fact, changes things as much as prayer changes things. And so, God, we just submit all of this to You. Lord, there are those tonight that need Your physical touch. Kathy needs touch in her body. God, every bit of sickness gone in the name of Jesus. Mike needs Your touch in his body and his back, Lord. I pray, God, complete and total healing in his back, Lord. I pray for my nephew's wife, Lord, that's facing another surgery, Father. And God, I pray that You would touch Rachel and lift her up, Father. God, that You would heal her. Lord, she's just been through one surgery after another, it seems, in the last number of years. And so, Father, I'm just asking You tonight to just step in, to stand in the gap, to meet that need. And, Father, I thank You for it. Lord, there are others tonight that are sick, that some facing cancer. God, cancer doesn't scare You. It doesn't bother You. Lord, You can rebuke it and remove it in the twinkling of an eye. And so, Lord, I pray to that end tonight. Lord, for others that are sick, that have pains in their bodies, Lord, all kinds of PTSD issues, Lord. You can take them all out. Your Holy Spirit is the comforter, the paraclete. You are our comforter, and I thank you for it. Lord, as my granny tonight is facing a knee surgery tomorrow, I pray, God, for the doctors and the anesthesiologists, Lord, and the nursing staff and the attending physicians, Father, that you would be with them, that you would guide them and direct them, Lord, that you would have your hand upon them, Lord, that you would have a speedy recovery, Lord, that it would be a very painless, pain-free, or at least minimal pain, God, in the recovery process, Lord, that she would be able to get around again. Lord, I pray for marriages tonight, God, that are struggling. I pray, God, for husbands and wives to hear from you and to not just hear from you, but, God, to do what you have called them to do by your word. And, Father, I thank you for it. Now, Lord, I look to Sunday, and I pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in this place. God, one day, very soon, we're going to have a church right out there. Father, I just pray that when we open the doors, that it is flooded with people. God, that souls will be changed and lives will be changed every time we get together in that place. God, I thank you for what you've given us in this place, Lord. The lives that have been changed and transformed here, Lord, we give you glory and honor for right now. Now, Lord, I just thank you for it all. Be with each one of us, Lord. I pray for the women tomorrow and the men Friday night. Men Saturday morning for the breakfast. God, church again on Sunday, Lord, that you'd be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for watching tonight by way of the internet. God bless you. We will